I want to leave far, but it's hard to get caught and I know I can't stay forever. And you know you could at least call, but you sent a text saying on the way I made you feel. I ain't never felt this small, like a locust dust in the wind on stormy weather. But at least by this fall, the butterfly clips from my room won't be disturbed. I want to see the leaves fall, but it's starting to get cold and I know I can't stay forever. Hey, you know you could at least call, but you sent a text and I don't know why I made you feel.
To the movie that is an automatic five for all three of us. Welcome to TSB Goes to the Movies. I am Alex. He is King. He is Ski. Join our Discord if you would like to get a hold of us. You can do so in there. Talk sports. You can give us movie suggestions. All of the fun things. Let's just get right to it. We're still in Steven Spielberg month. This is the third place finisher in the listener poll that we put on our Discord. And you guys chose number four and number three Indiana Jones movies for Steven Spielberg. First, it was Raiders of the Lost Ark last week. This week is Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade. It is on Disney Plus and Paramount Plus. It came out in 1989, which is kind of a surprise to me. I thought it came out like early 90s, but 1989, still in the 80s. It has a 84% on Rotten Tomatoes, which is extremely low to me. I don't understand it. It has a 8.2 on IMDb, which is fairly high.
Very high. That IMDb is always low.
It has a 65 on Metacritic.
Oh, come on.
A 65. I had a plan to do this. I clicked the Metacritic links because they link to the stories that gave them good scores, bad scores, medium, whatever. And I saw, like, one of them gave it like a 20 out of 100. Like a 20.
Are there people that are like, oh, it has Nazis in it, I have to give it
no,
a low score?
No,
not even that. Like
not at all. They called it formulaic and boring.
It's supposed to be formulaic. I mean, it's the Indiana third Jones movie of a series. Yes.
That song.
Yeah.
It's like,
which, by the way, it was supposed to be the end of a trilogy. So, like, the plan for Spielberg and Lucas when they first started making Indiana Jones is they were going to make three. They were going to make three. That was it. And this was supposed to close the whole thing. So there was a long, drawn-out script process for this that included, like, several different people writing versions of it that they rejected. George Lucas's first idea for this was like a haunted mansion type story, which obviously is fucking terrible.
Ooh.
So they didn't go with it, which is good.
Indiana Jones meets Jack Skellington.
Yeah. Meets Luigi's haunted mansion.
It's David S. Pumpkins.
The reason they didn't do that is hilarious, other than it's a horrible idea.
Yeah.
Spielberg was a part of Poltergeist and they thought it would be too much like Poltergeist. So that's why they didn't make a Haunted Mansion Indiana Jones movie.
I mean, they literally had them riding off into the sunset to end the movie. Like they set it up as this is, you know, a fiend at the end of the movie.
This is
done. When did Crystal Skull come out? They said this was 1989. Was it like
early 2000s? I think right. It was like way later because Shia LaBeouf was in it. Like
I was gonna say, even like 2010s, not even early 2000s. So 30. I was gonna say 30 years.
2008.
Almost 30 years later. So they did write that movie as a finale. They did.
Which, by the way, Crystal Skull on Rotten Tomatoes, 77%.
That's disgusting.
That's terrible.
That goes along with my narrative that Crystal Skull is not actually bad. And Temple of Doom is clearly the worst Indiana Jones movie.
I agree. Dial
of Destiny.
Dial of Destiny's the worst one, but I don't count that one.
Geez, my voice is gone. We started this podcast, and my voice has been getting worse as we've been going on. I don't know what's
passionate.
Happening.
You're just passionate.
Because I'm passionate
about Harrison
about
Ford.
The and Last Nazis. Crusade, which and is...
You're passionate about the Nazis.
Yeah, you give me...
I mean...
You give me a Nazi movie, and I get excited, you guys.
One of those Nazis, you know, might turn some people. There's a chance.
just hear them out.
I have a question. What level of Nazi are you guys willing to deal with due to attraction?
It's like this Sushi Glory Hole song. Hear me out. Where are you going? Hear me out.
She's not full Nazi because she against the book burning and she sets up the guy at the end. So she's not the full.
She said it herself. She's not for the swastika. She said it herself.
But she's still a Nazi.
Yeah, she sure is.
But she still is attractive.
She's doing Nazi shit. That makes you a Nazi.
Fuck her and call it a hate crime.
I like where your head's at. Yeah. I mean,
she's not actually German. Also, she is Austrian like old Adolf. So, I mean, maybe.
True, nice loophole.
She is Austrian. It is a loophole.
This is true. They were.
I'm just trying to find the loopholes here, fellas.
They were literally on the border. They're literally on the border for a good portion of this movie. Like, that's her story. She's like straddling fences, straddling something. Straddling both
Joneses.
Yeah, that's what she did. By the way, real quick. So again, back to the script process for this. Chris Columbus actually took a run at it. He was like the second guy who tried
the Home Alone guy.
Yep. Who tried to write the script for this. And it was a Fountain of Youth script, which might have been OK. Pretty similar to what it ended up being.
Ponce de Leon.
Yeah. Goddamn right it was.
Would it have been in like Aztecs, like Incas? Yep. So down in like South America?
And at one point it involved him battling the undead. So Indy would have fought against zombies, which would have been a thing. Battling for Montezuma's death mask in that, which probably would have been actually pretty cool.
Montezuma gets its revenge though on you.
Yeah, which happened in Raiders of the Lost Ark when Harrison Ford was shitting out of both ends.
Crystal Skull takes place in like South America, right? It's like jungle, right? Yeah,
it does.
I've only seen it the one time.
I'm pretty sure they ended up sort of doing that. Yeah. And by the way, like a reason they landed on this, like landed on, not Found Youth, Holy Grail, landed on like similar themes to the first movie is because of the way the second movie was received. Because a lot of people didn't like it. I don't like it, obviously, but I always sort of assumed most people did. But apparently it wasn't received very well. It made way less money. It made $300 million. Like, let's not go crazy. But
in 1986 or 7 or whatever it was.
The old Stevie Spiel was doing fine after that.
Way less than the first one, way less than this one. So, you know, it just, you know. So they went back to the well and wanted to sort of like full circle and close out the trilogy on a good note. So that's why they ended up with this.
It works better when you have Connery as well.
1,000%.
Some reason that religious theocracy shit is like right in Connery's lane.
Once you brought in Connery, it all came together. Absolutely.
Connery in a jungle.
Connery in like an Eric B. and Rakim bucket hat.
Oh, baby. Yeah. Oh, baby.
Such a good ad. Yeah. I forgot how good it was.
He might have started off that New York style in the late 80s.
A killer Nazi. You see?
Yeah, your favorite kind of music.
Number one.
1, 2, 3 in the fall. It's Stone Boys coming at your door. Oh baby. All right, let's go through the cast real quick. Harrison Ford, Indiana Jones, actually called Indiana Jones in the cast this time. Sean Connery, Henry Jones, Professor Henry Jones. Allison Duty played Elsa. Her name is literally Duty. Of course she's a Nazi. Denham Elliott reprises his role as Marcus Brody. John Rhys-Davies as Sala. River Phoenix played young Indiana Jones in this.
Did he play the TV series Indiana Jones as well?
No. Nope.
That's why I was kind of like, no, he did not.
No. Nope. Julian Glover played Walter Donovan. Really good bad guy, by the way. Like, Walter Donovan, very good bad guy. Michael Byrne played Vogel. Kavork Malikyan played Kazim, who is Kazim. The Fez guy.
Isn't that what John Travolta said on, like, the... Wasn't that what he announced, like, Adele Dazeem? The fabulously wicked.
The wickedly talented.
Wickedly talented.
Amazing. John Williams, of course, the music again. Something I thought about while watching this movie is John Williams wrote a Nazi theme song. Because every time the Nazis showed up on screen, dun 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 dun, 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 or it was like dun 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 dun, every single time. So Steven Spielberg went to John Williams and was like, "Hey, I need you to write me a Nazi theme song. Every time the Nazis come on screen in my movie, I need their music to be playing."
What is up with them and Christianity and Nazis? It's like,
I know. I know. Obsessed much? Honestly.
Seriously.
What's the deal?
In fairness, both still play today. I mean.
Yes. And Spielberg especially, by the way, because he did like Band of Brothers and everything too. Like, he is fully invested in World War II.
Spielberg did do a movie that did not make our list. Holocaust.
What's that? What are you talking about? I don't know what you're talking about. He did a Holocaust movie? Huh.
A little bit.
I guess our listeners have no idea what that is either, because they didn't vote for it. So,
well, our listeners think it's fake, so they're free Palestine.
Yeah. budget for this movie, $48 million. It's 1989, like, but only $48 million? Like, this movie made $474.2 million in 1989. Like, you only give him $48 million for this.
To drag Sean Connery around the desert? He had to get paid a ton.
Half of it, right? Like,
how much was the budget for this movie?
$48 million.
Damn.
That's crazy. Were you converting that for us?
I was. And it's not working. The math isn't working out in my favor, so I'm just going to carry on. It's still a crazy low amount.
But for contrast, Temple of Doom made 333. So, like, significantly less. Let me see.
Dr. Jones!
Go back and, nope.
Fuck that kid.
Nope. Raiders of the Lost Ark, 389.9. And that was 1981. So,
we touched on it last week of why Temple, it's the female lead was so bad in time. Yes. If you she's get awful. Someone else in there, it might not
tell us
get
more.
The hate.
Yeah.
The what lead?
She sucked.
The female lead is so she fucking sucked. Bad in Temple of Doom.
She sucked.
Even a fucking Nazi is better than her.
Yes. Yes. So fucking annoying. Just why
they are better orators. Yeah. So
they are. She's a scientist as well. And a scholar.
Don't believe in science anymore. Wake up, sheeple.
What about Nazi science? I think that's probably.
Yeah. What are your thoughts on Nazi science, gang?
You might be cooking with gas on that one.
Cooking with mustard gas.
Ooh.
Story of this movie by George Lucas and Menno Meiges, who worked with Spielberg on The Color Purple. Apparently, he sort of did some touch-up work on the script, which was written screenplay by Jeffrey Boehm. Boehm, sort of a big hitter, too. So he created and wrote The Adventures of Briscoe County Jr. Not sure if y'all remember that. very similar. That was... Bruce Campbell was Briscoe County Jr., if you remember that. He also wrote Lethal Weapon 1, 2, and 3, The Dead Zone, The Lost Boys, Witches of Eastwick, and The Phantom.
The Howie Long movie?
Witches of Eastwick? No, I think that's the one about like actual
fire. Howie, Firestorm is
Firestorm.
Howie. And Broken Arrow, which we have to pick John Woo so we could watch Broken Arrow. It's so good.
Yeah, that's
speaking of Travolta. Oh God, what
Ski's gonna like listener. Ski is gonna be pushing John Woo in our director picks for like forever. So you know,
am I three? Face Off,
wasn't it MI2?
Broken Arrow, MI2, Face Off, whatever the terrible one.
There might be four total John Woo movies that are worth watching.
King won't like it. We can get into the Asian movies, the Chow Yun Fat movies.
Nothing he loves more than subtitles.
Yeah, love them.
We'll get the dubbed version.
I love
which
to
are even better.
Read for 2.5 hours on my TV.
All right, let's get to this movie. We're like running out of time, I think.
Everyone knows the plot of this movie.
So again, I spoiled our scores when I started this. We're all going to give this a 5. This is a fucking 5.
Possibly.
It's amazing.
Possibly. Okay,
that's fair. That's fair, actually. That's fair. We'll see.
I have a couple problems still with this movie.
I love
it was made
it.
In 89. There's going to be problems.
So first of all, tell us what you let's all go around the room. What is one thing you love about this movie? I should do this more.
I mean, it's a nonsensical point, but I just love knowing in hindsight that Sean Connery is like only like 8 years older than Harrison Ford. And I just can't unwatch it while he's wearing the, you know, 1984 Bronx cap. It just,
yeah, it's so
just
good.
Kills me. It just kills me.
It's beautiful.
I mean, Sean Connery accent just fits this movie perfectly too.
Driving or flying through a flock of seagulls.
Oh.
Yeah, Henry Jones Jr. Can't even do that.
Henry Jones Jr.
Henry Jones Jr.
Called the dog Indiana.
Dog called the dog.
Why I named my dog Indiana? So I could make that literal fucking joke all the time, and I fucking do every single time I meet somebody new at the dog park. Like, oh, his name's Indy. Yeah, I did it like Indiana Jones. Like, name the dog Indiana. Wow.
Name the dog Indiana.
The next time someone asks you that, if they're wearing duck gear, you should say, I got the dog in early January of 2020.
Big Kurt, you look like Kurt Cignetti.
Yeah,
you
know, it was a big, like... it was a bet I lost. Yeah. You know,
that's good.
I didn't even Indiana.
That's good. Let's see. What do I not love about this movie? So I love, you know what? I love the opening sequence. Like I love that there were questions you asked last week, Ski. Like, do we know where he got this? Do we know where this came from? Like, why he doesn't like snakes? And they explain it. Like, the opening sequence, it goes line for line Indiana Jones lore. It's like, where did he get the hat and the jacket? Well, he got it from that one guy. Why is he afraid of snakes? Well, like, you know, he fell in the fucking snake pit. Why does he have the scar on his face? Why does Harrison Ford have the scar on his face? It's because why does he have a whip? Same question or same answer to the both questions.
So he can nay-nay.
Yeah.
That was before dabbing. It's unfortunate. He would have been a great dabber. Why is he obsessed with saving artifacts? And like, it's literally.
It belongs in a museum.
Belongs in a museum.
So do you.
So do you.
Great line. So do you.
Great line. It's a great line.
You're not even that old. It's like, why does he. He's like 43. Yeah, you're much older than him. The line doesn't make a whole lot of sense. But.
I love the prologue. I love that they thought about that. Apparently, that was like one of the. That was sort of like a last minute addition to the script, and I can't imagine the movie without it. Like,
I would say it's a touch long.
I could see that,
but it does give a lot of information about the character, so it's not like wasted. It is a touch long.
Yeah, yeah,
and it doesn't really drive any of the plots.
Well, no,
the actual movie
it cuts right in. They literally cut from that flashback to him being on the boat, getting the
trying
artifact
to get the
back
cross
from
back,
that rich turd who took it. And so he
again, another Indy gets it and then loses it again.
Loses it immediately. But then he gets it back and then finally gives it to Marcus.
Gets his dad's diary, loses it.
Immediately
loses it.
He gets the cup of Christ, immediately loses it. genuinely, he can't hold on to any artifact he's ever gotten.
No.
That's a good running gag.
I honestly blanked out Temple of Doom. Do they show him go after like a separate artifact to start
the
movie again?
I can't remember. Yeah.
So I don't know.
I almost want to just like watch it just so I can remember it and have a more educated conversation.
Did we not watch it for this podcast?
We haven't.
Are you sure?
Yes, 100%.
All right.
I would remember it better.
Dr. Jones.
Fucking short round, really?
Short round.
Goddamn. I love the Hindenburg, like the one on the fucking like blimp, and the no.
Another great line from it. No ticket
gag made me laugh out loud. I laughed out loud. Like no ticket. Fucking classic. That's classic movie shit. And in a movie like this, it fits. And I appreciated it. So
I hate that guy's face. That's why I think it was a perfect Nazi.
Yeah.
The main Nazi guy. Yeah.
They did good job. Like they did a good job in both the Nazi themed ones, like hiring evil faced people to be the Nazis. Mm-hmm. Like they're probably like perfectly nice people. And
that could be a poll question. Who is the best Nazi in a movie?
Who looks
the most Nazi? Yeah.
Christoph Waltz.
Well, yeah, of course he's going to win, but
I just watched that the Extraordinary Gentleman, whatever the one with
the Extraordinary League of Gentlemen.
Speaking of Sean Connery,
the ungentlemanly warfare one, whatever that
the one with
yeah,
Cavill?
Whatever, oh, the one with Cavill in Richard. Yeah, not the League. I actually love that movie too, by the way.
I do
the
too.
League of Extraordinary Gentlemen. I
got that movie on DVD at one of those like Hollywood video sale things, and I watched the fuck out of League of Extraordinary Gentlemen. I love that shit.
Yeah, but the Nazi in that Till Schweiger or whatever his name is, good Nazi. Have a guy play Nazi as well. Yeah.
Well, let me rephrase that. Good movie Nazi. I don't like being on wax saying good Nazi. Elsa,
good Nazi.
Let it snow.
I think she falls into your Austria category.
That's why I'm saying. I'm trying to find loopholes here still.
The only good Nazi is an Austrian Nazi.
Exactly.
I'm always saying that. And I've always said that.
Yeah, people do say that.
People do. I've heard it. But he did,
by the way, say in this movie, he's like, Nazis. I hate those guys.
I hate those. Again, this is 39, I believe, supposed to take place. So it's.
I laughed when he said that line because it's not the same thing at all. But it just reminded me of his delivery on snakes. Why does it always have to be snakes?
Does it always have to be snakes?
Well, he was more impassioned about the snakes than the damn Nazis.
Again, this is 1939. You know, the U.S. isn't in the war.
The U.S. hasn't entered the war yet.
Yeah, you know what happened in 1939, Ski? The Webfoots.
Minnesota got their third straight title. Yeah.
B-I-G.
Yeah, Minnesota completed the three-peat.
No, but I actually think America was like, the Nazis, I guess they're bad. Like they didn't know about the camps and shit like that.
Really done yet? Yeah.
They're just. I mean, what are we seeing now? They're doing similar things there. So there you go. So yep. I think that's the line works for the times because there probably were people like they're not that bad. They're just trying to have their Germany
they're
great
just
again.
Trying to have a proper country.
Make Germany great again.
They're just trying to have people come into their country, look the same, and assimilate. If you can't assimilate in this country and have pure blood, what are you even doing here?
Right. Seriously.
I mean, no one would ever say that in 2026.
No one.
No one would ever say that. It just sounds too crazy.
It famously took us a really long time to join in to that war.
Well, you could thank the Japanese for the only reason that happened.
Yep. Yep.
Big mistake by the Japanese.
Or, like, really glad they did it, because if they didn't, then...
Did you say that?
Pearl Harbor, King, Pearl Harbor was actually a good thing.
I am pro Pearl Harbor.
He is pro Pearl Harbor.
The Americans deserve Pearl Harbor.
Yeah.
Yes. Pro attack on Pearl Harbor.
Yeah.
Look, tell me I'm wrong.
Europe loves Pearl Harbor. Like, they should, like, they should celebrate that day with pride, with like glee.
I mean,
that saved the continent.
It was kind of a sick attack. I mean, you got to give them credit.
Pretty good.
That's what happens. No internet back then. You never see it coming.
God, war was so different.
Hundreds of planes and aircraft carriers coming right at you. You have no idea.
You have no idea. We're just oblivious.
Oblivious to it.
They're listening to Vin Scully call a Dodgers game or something.
Yeah. There's some black guy out here playing baseball. What's going on?
There's a black guy playing baseball. And then Vin Scully tells a story from like 80 years ago. At the time, 80 years ago, because he's actually the Crypt Keeper.
All right, we got 9 minutes. So I got to say my negatives for this movie still.
Yeah, I was going to ask. Okay, go for it.
All right. So the first one was the boat chase. Kazim... they clearly shoot out their engine, yet then the boat is perfectly fine to drive after it stalls because they shoot out their engine.
Smoke coming out of it, by the way. The very clearly the boat is no longer going to function. And then the other boat that happened to be right there gets destroyed in the propeller. So,
yes. Number two.
You have a continuity error issue.
A little bit of a continuity, yes. Okay. Number two, this mystical place where the holiest of holy thing is kept shouldn't be too hard to find. It's just in a little canyon that anyone walks. Yeah. It's not like
with a really big fucking entrance.
It's a massive entrance.
You don't have to go that far to get into it. It's just right there. Yeah.
You're like, oh, look at that little... Sure, let's just go walk 50 yards down there. Oh, what's this giant gaping entrance to something?
Yeah.
And then the last one was the... So the whole plot, too, is that the three brothers are trying to protect the Grail, and one of them... They're literally protecting the Grail himself.
Yes.
But he's supposed to be waiting for another knight to replace him.
Well, the legend, that didn't make sense. So the legend was there was three of them, and then two of them walked out and the other one died. That was the legend. He was supposed to have died. So then they go in there and his story is he's waiting for somebody to replace him. Is that like
this guy's whole plot line is he spent 700 years at I guess you call it he didn't protect the Grail very well.
He sat there.
And then the first people he sees in 700 years.
Let's take it. Yeah.
And then has the place crumble on he I guess dies.
Yeah.
I don't know. He's immortal, right?
Good question.
So,
and that's another question I have as well. Is Indy drinks some, and he gives some to his dad. Mm-hmm. So, do they live forever? Do they have to keep drinking it? Or
I think they found the loophole of him saying, you know, you can't take the Grail out past the emblem,
or whatever power just goes away.
Yeah, it goes away. So yeah, because oh cool, you can live forever. You have to live in this cave.
Because that got me thinking about the Dial of Destiny and like how old Indy is and like how, you know, does Indiana Jones live forever? Like, is it because of this movie he drank from the Holy Grail? Like,
hey, we have AI now. We could have Harrison Ford live forever.
Is that lore?
Making Indiana Jones movies.
Yeah. You get AI Harrison Ford.
Nothing he can do. I'm sure he signed his rights away to the franchise.
I'm sure he's on board with that. I'm sure.
Let's get Sean Connery back in too.
Sean Connery.
Let's make a dozen.
Is he still alive?
No.
Nope.
Okay, I didn't think so. Okay. Yeah. He died at home from an ischemic heart attack or something.
Yeah, it was something like
that. I think into his 90s, early 90s, maybe late 80s.
Yeah. Lived a good long life. By the way, like, if you feel like it, look at some old pictures of Sean Connery. Look at his IMDb picture is actually
look
like,
at really look what's, at him as Zardos.
Zardos.
Yeah, okay. Like, obviously, that's the
I love how we all that's, know
that's,
the Zardos.
That's yes. the hottest picture ever taken of a human man. But like
a little cultural appropriation as well.
Yeah, it was a different time.
More cultural appropriation. Him as that character or John Rhys-Davies as Sala. Like, which one? Which one's worse? Yeah. John Rhys-Davies, by the way, a little more like a little more athletic in this one, a little more big, moving around, doing stuff in this one.
I thought I said no camels. I gotta replace my brother-in-law's car. That the Nazis fucking blew up.
Yeah. Fucking Nazis blowing stuff up. So much stuff blew up.
Number four, I forgot the biggest thing I have a problem with.
Okay.
So, what the fuck is this? Delman Coleman.
Delman Elliott.
Marcus. He gets.
He's a cartoon character in this.
Yes.
Like, yeah.
But so he meets John Rhys-Davies there in Marrakesh, wherever he meets him there.
Cairo.
And the two, Cairo, wherever it is. And the two Nazis approach him. And he hurries him off into a building that just happens to be a fake building that has a truck parked there that they went away. Yeah. He would exactly run into that one building
with
that the
Nazi
Nazis would capture him.
Yeah.
Well, are you fucking kidding me?
It's Looney Tunes.
That was the Nazis' plan the whole time, was to shuttle him into this bizarre door that takes him into the back of a truck.
Yeah.
That's how they capture him. Are you
that
serious?
That looked like a building. Yeah.
That looked like a building.
Yeah. I don't get it, Ski. I don't see the
That's
problem.
How they captured Marcus. That's how they captured him.
I don't see the problem here. Yeah. And they had drivers in there waiting, and they were just waiting for it. They knew Sala's plan.
Hop on the train.
I guess they knew.
They know how Sala works. Didn't you watch the first movie? The Nazis know how Sala works.
Oh, that is true.
It's kind of amazing that the Nazis just sort of didn't go after Sala at any point.
I mean,
like, he thoroughly fucked with them in the first movie.
Did the Nazis have a problem with brown people?
If you just run the ball with the middle on Robert Sala, you're eventually going to open up the pass.
You'll wear him down.
You'll wear him down.
Yeah.
Sells out.
I did, before we end the podcast, I did like the final sequence. Like, it was too easy. Like, to your point, Ski, getting there was really easy. It's the Valley of the Crescent Moon. I'm sure nobody's ever
been to the
Valley of the Crescent Moon before.
Alexandretta, of course.
We know this now because the Taliban blew up a bunch of them, by the way.
Yeah.
Like those entryways that were like really intricate and looked really cool like that.
That's how Iron Man was created.
Sort of like pinpointed a lot of those and blew them up so they don't exist anymore. But there are a bunch of those. And
he was a good leader.
Had a lot of good ideas. You know?
Should have just kept them on a brainstorming.
Yep. That's...
We armed him. We should have just like kept arming him. And it wouldn't have been a problem. You know, like I don't see it. Like, So again, very easy to get there. Very easy to get through. I mean, the first part, they just kept walking people in and they kept dying over and over again. And they're literally just walking. Heads are falling off. Just walk. It'll be fine. Like, don't actually slow down or think about it. Just walk in there. It'll be good.
Oh, how many times did Sean Connery say the penitent man?
The penitent man. The penitent man kneels before God. Yeah, see,
a little corny. It's a little corny.
Kneels before God. Jehovah in Latin starts with an I. Then the leap of faith, and then the carpenter's cup. Carpenter's cup, which by the way, very very shiny on the inside. The carpenter's cup, which is
real quick. So she killed the guy on purpose, right? She gave him. She knew the cup was wrong and gave it to him, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
I think so.
The Nazi. Yep.
Coming around on her. Ski's searching for reasons.
It's a Nazi.
Okay, let's grade this thing. Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade. Let's grade it out of 5 because there's 5 Indiana Jones movies. Once again. So, Ski, you start because I said so.
I am going to give this a 5.
Yes.
Good Nazis.
I'm also giving this a five. It's a great fucking movie. I've loved it every single time I've watched it. It never gets boring or tired. I love this movie.
It's a five for me too. I love it.
Yeah. All right. What is this, like the fourth movie we've all given fives to? Like it's Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade is great. It just is.
This Predator and Willy's Wonderland, I think.
It has flaws. It has flaws, but it's still fucking great. And
we can fix those flaws.
1989, everything had flaws in 1989. It was Reagan, it was in office. What are you supposed to do?
Yeah. I think that was Bush at that point.
Was it Bush there?
Can fix it.